Hello and welcome to 2009. This is the Archaeology News Weekly and I am David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Well, happy new year to you, as you say, and I just thought for the start of the new year, I might give you a little taste of what happens in the background, basically the bloopers of the past year. Just a bit of fun to start the year, and it also lets you see that it's not all perfection. A lot of people have said that my pronunciation, for example, has a lot to be desired. Well, you should just find out how bad it gets, as you'll hear in this next clip, which attempts to retrace the genuine migration route of the ancient Austronesians. Is there such a word? Or what about this one? I'm going to make a mess of that. Andharas flourished before the advent of the Satavaharanas. I knew I was going to have trouble with this one. But it's not only the foreign ones I have trouble with, as you'll hear in this one. The early settlers in March in Cambridgeshire, England, But it's not just the pronunciation that I have trouble with. It can sometimes just be a simple case of technology. You can always now find us on our blogs and other stuff as well. It would help if I actually scrolled the page down. Sometimes, of course, it is not my fault at all. And for this final clip, you'll hear one of the things that happens to me all too often when I'm recording. I need absolute quiet, and this is what happens. Roundhouses excavated. Oh, I hate it when that happens. I bet it's my mother. Now, you think, of course, that once a person's done it once, especially if it's my mother, they would learn from that. But the discovery remains controversial. Not again! I can't believe it! It's going to be my mother again. Well, I hope you enjoyed that little bit of fun. And as they say, let's get back to the news. The main headlines from around the world are as follows. Prehistoric plaque may provide a link with Stonehenge. Did a comet explode over North America 12,000 years ago? And prehistoric artifacts are found in Arizona. Iran's burnt city yields ancient graves. And was it competition that led to Neanderthal extinction? Pollen grain study yields a new picture of the Ice Age in Northern Europe. And an ancient burial site is uncovered in Dorset. We have traces of an ancient civilization found in Bulgaria and a Celtic village found in Poland. We also find out that European Neanderthals had ginger hair and freckles. And finally, a Macedonian archaeologist uncovers 4,000-year-old writing. Archaeological director Mike Emery believes new evidence shows a direct link between his dig south of Chester and Stonehenge. His team have uncovered a 4,500-year-old limestone plaque at the Poulton excavation, bearing a mysterious crisscross pattern. The closest parallel is a chalk plaque found in 1969 on Salisbury Plain in Wiltshire, just a kilometre from Stonehenge. The markings were made with a flint tool, and flint from Salisbury Plain has also previously been found on the site. Mike explained that the plaque found at the entrance to a later Bronze Age ring ditch monument was connected with ritual or ceremonial activities, though of course its exact purpose is unknown. Engraved plaques have been recovered from elsewhere, but they are extremely rare and are almost always sculpted from chalk. The cross-hatching pattern found on the plaque is also similar to designs found on grooved ware pottery, which is unique to Britain and Ireland. However, this pottery is almost absent from the archaeological record in Cheshire. Another mystery is the discovery of what's thought to be an Iron Age coin bearing the image of an animal, possibly a horse or goat. Two universities have so far failed to identify the coin, and now Mike will approach experts at the British Museum to see if they can shed any light on it. he and his team became sidetracked by the excavation of a linked chapel, the discovery of Bronze Age burials and a timber henge. But the results of major geophysics survey on a field called Ox Lizow looks promising, and more tests are scheduled this year. Well, we hope we get a chance to come back to this story later on. Roughly 12,900 years ago, massive global cooling kicked in abruptly, along with the end of the line for some 35 different mammal species, including the mammoth, as well as the so-called Clovis culture of prehistoric North America. Various theories have been proposed for this die-off, ranging from abrupt climate change to overhunting, once humans were let loose on the wilds of North America. But now, nanodiamonds found in the sediments from this time period point to an alternative, a massive explosion, or explosions by fragmentary comet, similar but even larger than the Tunguska event of 1908 in Siberia. Sediments from six sites across North America yielded microscopic diamonds, which only occur in sediment exposed to extreme temperature and pressure, such as those from an explosion or an impact. This is according to a new research published today in Science magazine. Doug Kennett of the University of Oregon said that the nanodiamonds that were found at all six locations exist only in sediments associated with Younger Dryas boundary layer, not above it and not below it. And the discoveries provide strong evidence for a cosmic impact event at approximately 12,900 years ago that would have had an enormous environmental consequence for plants, animals and humans across North America. Last year, a 26-member team from 16 institutions proposed that a cosmic impact event, possibly by multiple airbursts of comets, set off a 1,300-year-old cold spell known as the Younger Dryas, fragmented the prehistoric Clovis culture, and led to the extinction of large range of animals, including mammoths, across North America. The cooling period interrupted an extended warming of the Ice Age predicted by slight changes in the Earth's orbit, known as the Milankovitch cycle, that continues today, and it remains an unexplained anomaly in the climate record. But a series of cometary fragments exploding over North America might explain a layer of soil immediately prior to the cooling containing unusually high levels of iridium, an element more commonly found in the cosmic wanderers like meteorites than in the Earth's crust. Paired with the fact that this layer occurs directly before the extinction of at least 35 genera of large animals, including mammoths, it's a strong circumstantial evidence for a cosmic event. Preliminary searches further afield in Europe, Asia and South America have also turned up similar material and elements and sediments of the same age. It could have happened above the North American ice sheet or in the ocean, explaining why no impact crater has yet been found. A mysterious circle stone is puzzling archaeologists who unearthed it from within an ancient village in Arizona, USA. Westland Resources, Inc., an Arizona engineering and environmental consultancy, has been studying the site for more than a year now. Bill Deaver, a senior archaeologist and principal investigator with Westland, walked among the exposed ruins on December the 10th and described what it is believed to be a desert Mogollon community that preliminary analysis indicates existed from around the 1st century CE until 600 CE. What they found are mostly pieces of broken plain brownware and plain red pottery, with no painted pottery at all, which shows that the material culture here was quite basic. One tantalizing piece that you can hold in your hand is this circle stone, and Westland archaeologist Christine Gerla calls it roughly the size of a softball. I think for the European viewers, we'll call that roughly the size of a cricket ball. One hemisphere has concentric circles carved in relief. The motif is reminiscent of the relatively common spiral petroglyphs found etched on immovable rock faces in Arizona. The circle stone is just one of more than 700 features and artifacts found on the site. The 12th phase of Burnt City archaeological excavations in Iran's southeastern Sistan-Baluchistan province has yielded 12 ancient graves. A brick-walled quadrangular grave was found at the site, which is believed by archaeologists to be unique amongst the discoveries of the past 30 years. The skeletons have been unfortunately eroded and no artifacts were found within the graves. Over 400 prehistoric sites have been excavated, though, in the burnt city, and archaeologists expect that number to rise to at least 1,000. The 5,000-year-old burnt city is located near the city of Zabol and covers an area of around 300,000 hectares. Four civilizations have lived in that area, and the city was burnt down three times. It was not rebuilt after the last fire. The world's oldest animated picture, dice and backgammon set, the earliest known caraway seed, and even an artificial eyeball have all been found in Burnt City. I think you might remember we've been reporting on all of these amazing discoveries, and look forward to more in the year to come. In a recently conducted study, a French-American research team reported that the Neanderthal extinction was principally a result of competition with Cro-Magnon populations, rather than a consequence of climate change. The study reported in the online open-access journal PLOS One on December the 24th. This figures in an ongoing debate on the reasons behind the eventual disappearance of Neanderthal populations, which occupied Europe prior to the arrival of human populations like us around 40,000 years ago. Led by Dr. William Banks, the authors reached the conclusion by constructing climatic conditions during this period and then analysing the distribution of archaeological sites associated with the last Neanderthals and the first modern human populations, with an approach typically used to study the impact of climate change on biodiversity. This method uses geographic locations of archaeological sites dated by radiocarbon in conjunction with high-resolution simulations of past climates for specific periods. It then employs an algorithm to analyse relationships between the two datasets to reconstruct potential areas occupied by each human population and to determine if and how climatic conditions played a role in shaping these areas. The researchers conclude that the Neanderthal populations that occupied what is now southern Spain were the last to survive because they were able to avoid direct competition with modern humans, since the two populations exploited distinct territories during the cold climatic conditions. That's actually part of a much longer article, and you will of course find more at the Stone Pages website, news.stonepages.com. According to a new doctoral dissertation at Stockholm University in Sweden, based on analysis of deposits of pollen grains, it's quite possible that all of Sweden was virtually free of ice for long periods during the last ice age. The findings show that the glaciation might have started some 20,000 years later than has previously been assumed. It's important that we get to the bottom of when the great ice sheets covered Sweden and how warm it might have been when there was no ice. At present, there are two extremely different hypotheses, which makes it difficult to study how the ice age climate relates to the various parameters in the climate system, such as the Earth's relation to the sun. Martina Hattenstrand, a doctoral candidate at the Department of Physical Geography and Quaternary Geology at Stockholm University, is currently studying this event. In order to understand the climate system of the Earth, researchers today are studying the climate changes of the past ice ages. An important aspect of the research is to study when the huge continental ice sheets grew and when they melted, and to study the environment and climate of the areas that were free of ice. The size and movement patterns of the ice sheets can be calculated by studying landforms and moraine deposits. The ice-free periods can be studied by pollen analysis, amongst other methods. Martina's dissertation is based on studies of pollen grains that were deposited more than 40,000 years ago in small lakes during the ice-free phase of the last glaciation. During the warm phases of the Ice Age, high amounts of birch pollen were deposited, which indicates that summer temperatures were around 10 degrees centigrade in northern Sweden. During cold ice-free phases, mostly grasses and herbal pollen was deposited. According to the previously accepted hypothesis, Sweden was covered with ice 75 to 20,000 years ago. Martina's hypothesis, on the other hand, is that Sweden may have largely been ice-free between 59,000 and 40,000 years ago. If this is true, the last ice sheet of the Ice Age formed much more rapidly than was previously believed, in order to have reached all the way down to northern Germany during the maximum phase about 22,000 years ago. More than a dozen skeletons thought to be thousands of years old have been found by Oxford archaeologists working at the ancient burial site in Dorset in England, Excavations are taking place at the site in Weymouth before builders move in to build an access road to the Olympic Sailing Centre for 2012. Archaeologist David Score said that they had catalogued finds from almost every period of human life. He added that it's really adding to the knowledge of the Bronze Age and Neolithic period for this area. Building the relief road has given the archaeologists an opportunity to excavate and record finds dating back thousands of years. All these finds will be taken back to Oxford, where they will be catalogued. Scientists will also look for small fish bones or charred plant remains to try and find out more about the ancient eating habits. The items will eventually be returned to Dorset, where they will be put on display in the museum. Hopefully that won't be the small fish bones and charred plant remains. The archaeological excavations at the prehistoric tomb in the village of Unadsete in Bulgaria give pleasant surprises each year to the specialists who work there. In 2008, the joint Bulgarian-Greek team had excavated the layers of the tomb that date back to the Chalcolite Age from the 5th to the 4th millennium BCE. After finding the skeleton of the young woman, they have now found the fortified system that includes a huge 5-metre-thick wall that surrounded the settlement. In contrast to other sites dating back to the same period, this was a massive defensive wall and has existed right up to the end of the settlement as late as the 5th century BCE, probably as a result of the frequent hostile attacks in that region. Another interesting fact is that proves the high level of development of this ancient settlement is the presence of pre-script signs. The excavations of the tomb will continue in 2009. A 3rd to 2nd century BCE Celtic village was discovered 4 miles east of Krakow in Poland. Archaeologists from the Krakow Highway Exploration Team had been investigating the site of the future A4 highway development. The archaeologists managed to explore almost an entire village, which is unique in Poland. They found coins, jewellery and everyday articles, thanks to which they are able to reconstruct the lives of the Celts of the Malopolska district. The most valuable achievement from an archaeological point of view is being able to explore an entire village, as you seldom have an opportunity to search through such an enormous 10-acre area. Thanks to this, archaeologists were able to recognise the layout of 17 huts and also to understand their chronological order. The Celts migrated out of the Krakow area probably around the 2nd to 1st century BCE, when they would likely join a great migration that was taking place at the time. They left behind pieces of bracelets and glass beads imported from other Celtic tribes living to the south, as well as iron tools, amongst which they found the oldest pair of scissors in that area. Having been catalogued and inventoried, the finds will be shown at a multimedia exhibition in Krakow's Archaeological Museum. The gene known as MC1R suggests that Neanderthals had fair skin and even freckles, like redheads. In a major breakthrough, Spanish scientists have discovered the blood group and two other genes of these early humans living around 43,000 years ago. After analysing the fossil bones found in a cave in northwest Spain, the experts concluded they had human blood group O and were genetically more likely to be fair-skinned, perhaps even with freckles, and have red or ginger hair. The Spanish scientists also described how they discovered a variety of the FOXP2 gene, which is related to speaking and the capacity to create language, and therefore suggests that these Neanderthals could communicate orally. Since 2000, archaeopaleontologists wearing special sealed white suits, masks and helmets have been painstakingly sifting through 1,500 bone fragments found in the Tunnel of Bones in the Cidron Cave complex in Asturias, northwest Spain. Unnatural striations in the bones suggest that the Neanderthals practiced cannibalism and broke the bones to pick out the succulent bone marrow. But why this group died without wild animals discovering and contaminating the remains, or indeed why the Neanderthals in general became extinct, still remains a mystery. Well, no longer, because I think if we go back a couple of stories, the mystery's over, so it's okay. The first traces of the ancient Macedonian language has been uncovered in the country. It's a very rare artefact with the name of the goddess Vesta written on it. However, the first written name is in fact, and I'll try this, Bsepha, which later became Vesta. The 4,000-year-old signs written on the lid of a clay artefact are considered as a monumental discovery, first of its kind and very important for paleolinguistics. Well, it just remains for me to say that, of course, I do hope you're going to go along and check out Past Horizons magazine. You'll find that as ever at www.pasthorizons.com/magazine. If you haven't already, please get along there and please tell your friends, as they say. And can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as UK heritage calendar, library, guidance section, and so much more can be found on Badger, www.bajr.org. We're also, believe it or not, on Facebook. So if you want to search for some Facebook, you'll find us just try typing BAJR or Past Horizons Magazine, and you'll find us there. Why not become one of our friends? And more can always be found at Stone Pages, the wonderful Stone Pages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks for listening to Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope you return again to us next week.